1 Kings chapter 21 is where I'm going to be looking this morning. Does anybody remember the illustration that I gave a little over a year ago of Harry Comstock? Does anybody remember that name? Harry Comstock discovered a good vein of silver in 1859. Does that ring a bell? Investors got together and offered him $11,000, an unheard of amount of money for that vein of silver. Over the next 30 years, he took it, $11,000 for that. He took it, and over the next 30 years, that silver mine produced for its owners $340 million. Now, that was before 1900. Anybody want to tell me how much $340 million would look like today? $340 million still looks good to all of us today. And we would probably all agree that Mr. Comstock sold out too soon. He had no idea. The other guys didn't either. They were just taking a chance. And what a return. But Mr. Comstock, $11,000. What's your price? What's your price? There's only two items that I own that the price would really have to be astronomical for me to sell. Some of you know what they are. One's a gun from my dad's dad. One's a trumpet from my mom's dad. Neither one of them, if they were to be put on an auction block or to put in a yard sale or even in an antique store, would bring very much money, even though they were both antiques. My grandfather bought that old 20 gauge when he was in his 30s. Shot his first deer with it when he was 36. I have a picture of him holding the gun and that deer. It's got a broken stock from the years of use. Shot my first deer with it when I was 13. I've repaired it two times. My younger brother broke it and repaired it again. The stock. It's still original. I mean, it's original wood, but it's been... But if you were to look at it, you'd say, this thing isn't worth $50. But because of what it is and who gave it to me, it takes on more value. I've got a couple of vehicles over there. One of them I'm more than ready to sell. First thing tomorrow morning, I'll sell it to you. You name your price, and it'd probably be good enough. Have a few other things around that may have some kind of value. You see, everything that we have in possessions probably, more than likely, has some kind of a price. Now, because of some maybe sentimental value or earthly value even, the price may be higher for us selling than what the buyer wants to pay to buy. Isn't that the way it always is? We want to buy low and sell high. $11,000 for $340 million silver vein. We find here in 1 Kings chapter 21, the story of a man that we know of by the name Naboth, the Jezreelite. He had a vineyard. Does anybody want to buy Naboth's vineyard? Anybody in the vineyard business? It probably wouldn't be too valuable to us today. It probably wasn't too valuable to too many people. But there was one individual that thought that it was valuable to him because it bordered his place, his palace, his gardens. And it would be a nice addition to his gardens. King Ahab by name. Now, if we look at this as some shadows and some types, we could easily understand that Ahab would be a shadow or a type, or he would represent the world and represent the devil, right along with his wife Jezebel. Now, she might have been the devil. Ahab thought that he wanted that parcel of land. We don't know how big it was. We don't know how beautiful it was. It was just beside him. It was hard by the palace. And Ahab, the king of Samaria, wanted it. And so he spoke to Naboth. Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to you, I will give you the worth of it in money. Sounds pretty good. You're able to deal with the king. You know the king's got some extra cash on hand. He's able to really make this profitable. Really make this worthwhile. Sounds interesting. What's your price? Now we see here then in the third verse that Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord won't allow me to sell this. The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. That's the wrong thing to do. Somewhere along the line, Naboth had read or he had heard about a passage of Scripture that we know as a passage of Scripture. He may not have seen it as Scripture. He just may have heard it to be the law of the Lord, his God. We can find it in Leviticus chapter 25. That they weren't supposed to sell the land. It was supposed to be in their hands or in their family for generations, It was not to be sold. And Naboth was holding to that simple command. I'm reminded of the three Hebrew children. Over in the book of Daniel, you've heard about them before. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I still don't know why we know them by their heathen names. Why don't we know them by their Christian names or their Jewish names? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Maybe it's because it doesn't quite ring as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, I said that wrong. You know who I'm talking about, though, don't you? You know probably exactly what I'm referring to as well. As they were in the crowd, thousands of people were standing around, and the law was given by the king that when the music began to play, they were to all, thousands upon thousands of them, bow down before the image. Not that big a deal, is it? We can justify all kinds of things, and we can go around all kinds of things. They're just simple things. Naboth, don't sell the land. Oh, but the king wants it, and he will pay me a handsome price. I will be able to get a much better piece of property or a larger piece of property. I will get something that is more grand than my little parcel of land. He will be able to pay me well. Oh, it happens. That kind of thing happens. I know not too long ago, a man that just had 27 acres of spoil banks and brush field. And somebody wanted it bad enough to offer him 55 acres of good timberland. Good timberland. And the only thing that he wanted it for was for hunting purposes. So it looked like it was a no-brainer that he should swap his 27 acres of spoil bank. You know what spoil bank is. Strip mining spoil. Row after row of spoil. You can't plant anything on it. You can't really do anything with it. The trees grow there, but that's about the extent of it. You do can find a few mushrooms in spoil banks. Say amen, Chad. 27 acres to 55 acres of all timber. That sounds like a pretty good deal. Maybe we should call those two people Naboth and Ahab. Oh my, what a good deal Naboth could get here if he were only to sell. But principle meant more to Naboth than worldly honor. Principle, the principle was, whether it was super important or not, the principle was God said don't. You know, that's all that matters to him. That's all that mattered to Naboth. It wasn't about this worldly honor. It wasn't about this possibility that he would be able to get something bigger or better. I suppose that Naboth heard some wonderful things about his vineyard. You know, maybe Ahab was saying how wonderful it was, how nice it was. You know, but we can give you better. We can do better for you. Naboth lived beside the palace. But if he had sold to the king, then there was a very good likelihood that he would have an opportunity to go inside the palace. That'd be good too, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be good? Oh, we'd probably like that. How many of us would deny an invitation, turn down an invitation to go to the White House and have a private meeting with the president? If we would turn that kind of an opportunity down, it's probably simply because we're too shy. But otherwise, there's not too many people that would turn down an opportunity to go, all expenses paid, to meet with the president, whoever the president would be. I suppose that Naboth would have had an opportunity to go inside of the palace at some point in the midst of this transaction. Naboth was in the position to be, what would we call it today? We would call it today that there was a seller's market. Is that the right term? That he had the upper hand? If Ahab really wanted this property, Naboth could set his own price. It could have been that another generation would pass and the people would see this grand palace of a place and beautiful vineyards, and they would say, "Who is that?" "Oh, that's Naboth. He got that when he sold that to the king." The beautiful place that he's living in now, he got that when he sold his little rinky-dink property over here that's now the king's herb garden. People would comment about Naboth in some sort along this line. Oh, he was a wise businessman. He was pretty sharp in his game, and he really benefited. He made some wise decisions. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Let's mix them in here again. You don't have to worry about it. It's just a little bit of a bowing of the knee. It's only for a little bit of time. It's just a short period here. You can bow to this image. It's not that big a deal. There's all sorts of ways to justify. There's really a long list of men and women who have refused to go against their God-given convictions for temporary gain. There's a lot of people that we might know of. We might not know the details, but there's a lot of people that you and I would know of today that did not rise in their job circumstances simply because they were not willing to sell for the flattery, the palaver, the possibility of gain that the world had to offer or the devil had to offer. He refused to be swayed by the pressure of Satan. Now, how do we know that Naboth was pressured? To be able to bring it in here, this particular point that Naboth refused to be swayed by the pressure of Satan, or the devil. How do we know that there was pressure involved? Simply because we know from reading the story that Ahab wanted this parcel of land so bad that he went home and he, as a grown man, pouted. Maybe we need to sing that song. Is it the Poochie Lip Disease? Anybody want to stand up and sing the Poochie Lip Disease? Anybody know that one? It's been sung here before, so go ahead. Because we know that's what happened. Ahab went home and he laid down in bed and he turned his face away from people, turned his face to the wall, and he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't drink. He was laying there on his bed pouting, so much so that when his wife found out that he wasn't eating, she came to see what was wrong with poor King Ahab. And Ahab said to her, "I want Naboth's vineyard and he won't give it to me." Now, I can't help but really believe that Ahab put on some pressure before he left Naboth. He really wanted this parcel of land, and there was pressure for Naboth that he really should be selling this. He really needed to be getting rid of this. It was really a vital aspect that Ahab have this, and he could do so much better. You and I are promised so much better. You and I are promised so much attention from the world. You and I are promised so much fame and so much flattery and so much material gain if we but, let's just shave off a little bit here of what God said. And let's just cut a little bit of the corner over here on what God said. And let's, it's not that big of a deal. This little bit is not that big of a deal. Just a small change over here and just a small incremental difference over here. And we can sell out to that. Now, I said that maybe Jezebel was the devil herself, for we find that Jezebel, once she got involved with it, she created quite a fiasco. She created quite a story here, in the sense that she called for Naboth to be taken before the judge and a couple of some false witnesses be produced to bear witness against Naboth, so that the judge would find him guilty and stone him. Now, some of the commentators would suggest that not only was Naboth stoned, but also his family. Also, his family would have been possibly stoned. And then we see that Ahab got his garden, didn't he? Came to pass when Ahab, verse 16, heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth of the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Naboth would not sell out to the king's offers. What's your price? No, we don't see, we don't hear from Ahab. We don't know anything about Ahab as a king of such. But whenever the world, whenever Satan comes with some kind of an offer, some kind of a temptation to change us or to drift us away from the principles of God's word, the exact same thing is taking place in our life as it did in Naboth's life, where there was a reality of the possibility of a gain to be had, and yet he said, God forbid that we ever sell this land. I cannot do it. And it cost him his life, very likely the lives of his family. But what was on the other side? What was on the other side? Well, Ahab was able to get what he wanted, and Naboth lost what he wanted. Or what he should have in this life, he gained so much more. If you drop down to verse number 20, Ahab said to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And Elijah answered and said, "I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself." This is one of those times that I like the wording. I really like the wording of the King James here. Because the very issue that we're looking at with Naboth and what is the price that we have, what is the price that we would hold for things, and we find that Naboth would not sell. He would not sell out. And yet the very same thing, Elijah points a finger at Ahab and said, "You have sold your soul." Wow. "Thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." Naboth lost his vineyard, he lost his life, but he gained the reward for his encouragement to obey the Lord of hosts. Somebody said that if you are determined to have your way in spite of what God's word says, he'll let you do it. But I would add to that, not without consequences. You say, "Oh, wait a minute, the consequences of Naboth, that he would not sell out, he lost his life, he died. He died." Yeah, he died in this life, but he lives in the other life. But if he would have sold out, we don't know what the end result would be in that story. We wouldn't understand the end result of that in that story. But the chances are, the likelihood is, that if he would have sold out, he would have lost God's blessing, because he was refusing, he was following Ahab and refusing to follow the principle that God gave him, God gave them. And you and I know, if we look at God's word at any length at all in the Old Testament, we know that any time the Israelite people refused God or to turn their back on God, every single time there was a downward trend in their lives. There was suffering that was brought about for them. And sometimes that suffering lasted for years and generations. So the word for us this morning, what is my price? Am I for sale? What is the price that I'm willing to pay in order to have the appraisal of people or the appreciation of people or the applaud of people? What am I willing to sacrifice in the principles that God has given so that I can be looked to and recognized in this world? Or to have in this world? Even though it looked like Naboth lost, he gained. Maybe we should get our hymn books out and sing that first song over again this morning. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. You look at it and the songwriter lists a lot of different things, specifics in that song. I'd rather have Jesus than. I'd rather have Jesus than. I'd rather have him than anything. What's your price? Let's stand together this morning. If you need to pray this morning, the altar's here, the altar's open. We're available to pray with you. We'd be happy to pray with you. If you have something that needs to be corrected now, please correct it now. I believe that as the Holy Spirit is working, that he has already placed his hand on and finger on something somewhere. Don't tarry. Don't procrastinate. Let's prepare our heart to follow the principles of God. Not be willing to sell out for soft stuff, temporary stuff, but to hold to that which is eternal. May the Holy Spirit continue to speak to our hearts. Thank you for your attendance and attention today. Trust you have a good Lord's Day. Let's enjoy his blessings. Amen. It's good to have Aaron and Farrah with us this morning. Aaron, would you dismiss us in prayer?